Let us pray. Father, we ask you to be in our minds that we will understand, be in our hearts that we will believe, and be on our lips that we will proclaim your praise all the days of our life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's always a curiosity to me to look out on Maundy Thursday and to look at the numbers who come for the foot washing. It's a strange thing. I think the idea of foot washing scares people away, and I just marvel at the fact that on such a momentous night, in fact, it may be the most eventful night in the history of the universe. If you take away Christmas and Easter and Good Friday, there's no other night in the history of the universe more significant and filled with meaning than Maundy Thursday and what we do in celebrating what happened 2,000 years ago. The focus tonight is on foot washing, but I want you to know that it's a night that's filled with all kinds of commemorating a lot of the very significant things that happened in the last days of Jesus' life. It's the night before he was betrayed, and he met first with the disciples, and he met with them for a Passover meal. And in the course of that meal, he took bread that would be offered in a Passover meal, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said to his disciples that as he gave it to them, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup of wine. It may have been the last cup of the Passover meal, the cup of redemption. And he offered thanks to God, and he gave it to his friends. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so on this night, 2,000 years ago, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And it's something we remember every time we celebrate Holy Communion here at Christ Church. And then after that, Jesus took his disciples over to Gethsemane. They crossed the Kidron Valley to the place of the olive orchard or the olive grove. And in that place, they prayed. But the disciples fell asleep, and Jesus prayed. And Jesus marveled at their lack of faithfulness in prayer. And he came back to them to find them asleep. And he says, "Why couldn't you watch with me?" And in that place is where Jesus was arrested. And he was taken away. And he was betrayed by the kiss of one of his disciples, Judas. And then he was taken across the Kidron Valley back again into Mount Zion, a different neighborhood of Jerusalem, where he was kept in the high priest's house, Caiaphas's house. He was dropped in a hole into a little dungeon in the bottom of this house. And over the house today is a church. It's called St. Peter's Gallicantu, St. Peter's of the Cock Crow. And it's where Peter denied knowing Jesus three times in the courtyard. So on this night, some amazing, significant things happened, but I want us to focus for a few minutes on foot washing. You see, we're set up for foot washing. In a minute, you'll be invited to participate in foot washing. And what does it mean that we would wash one another's feet? At the very beginning of this passage in John chapter 13, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And so the passage begins with a reminder of what it is that we're talking about tonight. It's not just the foot washing and what we're supposed to do for one another, but it's all based in the love of God. In fact, if we take with us tonight the idea that foot washing is all about serving and giving ourselves to one another in service and following Jesus' example of serving and doing better at it than we've been doing and trying harder to serve one another, then we miss what Jesus has done for the disciples, and we miss what Jesus has done for us. Because that's the basis of what it is that we do for one another. Even later in this gospel, he says, I want you to remember that it's all about love. He says at the very end, a new commandment I give you. And that's where we get the word mande, a new mandate, a mandatum. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Which sounds like, again, it's all on us. Let's go out and love one another. But then he goes on to say, as I have loved you, so are you called to love one another. I want to suggest to you tonight that what we do is all about the love of God for us. And that love changing us so that we can go out and follow Jesus' example of loving others. And so Jesus saying, love one another as I have loved you, should cause us to wonder, how is it, Jesus, that you love us? I mean, how is it that you love us so that we could go out and love others in the same way? And there are several things that I want to point out. First is that Jesus loves us, each of us, constantly. He doesn't love us because we're lovable, or he doesn't love us when we're good, or doesn't not love us when we're not good. Is that good English? That's a double negative there. But he loves us constantly, and there's nothing that will separate us from the love of God. He loves us however we act and however we are and however we present ourselves and the messes that we've made of our life or how well we've done. God loves us constantly, and there's nothing that will separate us from the love of God. He loves us with a covenantal love. He promises to love us. He promises to never not love us. And so we're called to love one another with that same constancy. The covenantal love, it's not based on feelings. It's based on a covenant relationship that God establishes with his people. He establishes that relationship with us. And the second thing that comes to my mind when I think of the love of God for us, by which we're called to love one another, is that God's love for us is perfectly forgiving. There's nothing that we could do that, if confessed, would not be forgiven by God. Think about that. If anyone leaves here tonight and, having confessed your sins, leaves with a sense of guilt or a sense of, gosh, I'm carrying something heavy or burdensome to me, then you don't know what it means to experience the forgiveness of a forgiving God. And God wants us to know of his love for us that is perfectly forgiving, that no one is beyond the reach of his forgiveness here tonight. So if we would confess our sins, he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So his love is constant. It's based on covenantal love. It's based on more than just feelings. And his love for us is a forgiving love. And he says to us, love one another with those same qualities. And the last thing about his love for us is that it's a love that is able to love out of us who we were meant to be by God. I mean, he loves us so much that we are enabled to become the people God created us to be. And when the love of God gets in our hearts, when we know and experience the love of God, then we become the people God wants us to be. And then he says, now go and love others with that same kind of love. You see how it's based totally in God's love for us, what we do tonight? You see how it's far more than just go out and love one another, go out and serve one another, go out and wash one another's feet. That's the symbol of what we do tonight, but it's all based in the love of God for us. He says, love one another as I have loved you, so are you called to love one another. And so in a minute, we will wash feet as a symbol of the call of God on our lives to serve one another in the name of Christ. And we'll have the opportunity to celebrate the fact that God has based that in his incredible love for us. And so I hope that as a result of what we do this night, that God would be glorified, that we would be encouraged to grow in our knowledge and love of his love, and that from that we would learn what it means to serve one another with the love that Christ has given us. Love one another, he says, as I have loved you, so are you called to love one another. With perfect constancy, with gracious forgiveness, and with an ability to love out of each other the best, the person that God created us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.